Still thinking about fathers and how God wants us to serve and live for Him in the home, and just how we approach our job, dads, our privilege of being fathers. Psalms 103, verse number 13. That's where I want to look at for the beginning here tonight. Take a look, verse number 13. I'll read it for us. The Bible says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." You know what that tells me? We're to be thankful that God pities us, that he cares about us, that he sees our needs, and he's willing to help provide. Some thoughts about fatherhood that I found, and I don't know how true they are. They sound a little true, some of them. Here's what I saw, some quotes about fathers. A father carries pictures where his money used to be. With cell phones, I don't know if that's so true anymore. Raising kids is part joy and part guerrilla warfare. Depends on how many kids you got, I guess, you know. Dad taught me everything I know. Unfortunately, he didn't teach me everything he knows. And I like this one. The older I get, the smarter my father seems to get too. You know, fatherhood is important in all of our lives. We know that. Society shows that. God's word tells us about that. But there are some ways to approach being a father that have been traditionally part of what we see in America, at least. And there are some styles that can be helpful or can be hurtful. And these are four specific ones that have been shared before, but are out there, and I'd like to examine them a little bit. So I want to share with you tonight four styles of fatherhood and what God's Word says about them. Four styles of fatherhood and what God's Word says about them. Before we go any further, would you bow with me and we'll pray and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you that we can call on you, we can seek your face, Lord, and you say you want to answer us at any time. Lord, help us to have a heart after you, Father, as the Word of God tells us we should do. But Lord, for dads and moms, as we raise children, Lord, as we bring them up, we want to do it in the nurture and admonition of the Lord too. So we pray for the details. Would you show us in our daily lives, Lord, how best to do that? We know in principle, and we'll share that tonight, but Father, there's details in each of our homes that we need your help to know how to do and carry out with our family. May you get the glory through the things we share tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Four styles of fatherhood and what the Bible says about them. Proverbs 29. Let's go there first. Proverbs chapter 29. And look at verse number 15 with me as we get started here. 29:15 says this, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." The first style I want to look at for just a moment is this, the neglectful father. The neglectful father. This style is low in love and low in leadership. The neglectful father. And we could say that as far as fathers go in America, that might be the biggest crisis of all today, is the neglectful fathers, those that aren't there in the children's home, or those that are home, but they neglect their duties. And that's really what we're looking at here. The Bible says that the child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The neglect of both love and leadership in a child's life. This parent avoids involvement with his children. He finds it easier to say, "Ask your mother," and continue with whatever task he spends time doing, rather than engaging in opportunities to spend time with his children. Dads, how many dads have found that it's not that quality time equals quantity time? It's not always what you do, it's just the fact that you're there and spending time. This particular style, neglectful father, avoids defining rules of the home and ignores enforcing the few that are broken. Children learn to discern neglect and often take advantage of the relaxed expectations, and this lack of attention can be translated as a lack of love and may be sought for in other wrong influences. Do we see that in society today? Children growing up seeking some kind of attention or love or care or anything that they did not see at home in their dad or didn't have a dad to see it in, and finding wrong influences to fulfill it. Boy, we see this a lot, and I trust that you understand this is not the best style of fatherhood in the home. Number two, Proverbs chapter 6. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 6. In verse number 20, so we see the neglectful father, he's low in love and low in leadership in his style. The second one is the permissive father, who is high in love, but low in leadership. Verse number 20 in Proverbs chapter 6 says this, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." This father of permissiveness allows his children to lead him rather than leading them. How many have ever seen that in the store before? The kids seem to be steering everything, while dad or moms, in that case sometimes, seem to just follow along. He is reluctant to say no, perhaps fearing retaliation, resentment, or even a runaway. Being loving and kind to others is not an option for the Christian. It is a command, so it's not that love is wrong. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." But your children are people too. And Dad, you are their only father. You are the best friend you can be to them when you fulfill your role as a parent. Too many times we think when children start going off the rails that we got to be a good friend to them. And God doesn't say that to his fathers. In fact, what did the father of the prodigal son do? Did he become his friend? No, he said, "I'll be here. I'll be here. I'm not going to leave. And we'd love you to stay, but I'm going to be here." Sadly, that young man, he went through a life that took him to literally the bottom of the barrel. And it was only then that he realized something needs to change in my life. I had a far better. The Bible says that he came to himself. He came to himself. The permissive father, high in love, but low in leadership, that's a style that is not the most helpful in the home. Ephesians chapter 6, let's go there. And take a look at verse number 4. Verse number 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Would you read this with me? This is a verse, I think we looked at it this morning as well, but let's read it together tonight, please. Verse number 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. Let's begin. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." To provoke means to, the literal word is exasperate or frustrate, or, and I think a better understanding is confuse in the sense of pushing to a particular mold that is not what God would have. The authoritarian father, authoritarian, is low in love, but high in leadership. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children." This father drives his children to conformity rather than leads them to maturity. The driving or provoking here in God's word may use harsh language or even physical intimidation, which is not acceptable in a Bible-believing home. The Bible teaches we should strive to be transformed before expecting to be conformed. Romans chapter 12, would you go there please? Romans 12, and take a look, verse 1, verse 2. There we go. And verse 1 and verse number 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When does that transforming take place? When does God begin to work in the heart? It's a heart that it's submitted to God, which is what the Father is supposed to lead his children to do, broken before him. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We see a way how God uses this to help our children and ourselves draw to be more like our Savior. Romans chapter 8. This is not to say that there isn't a form for us to mold our children to or point them to. There is. Romans 8, look at verse 28-29. We all know verse 28. Do you know verse 29? Let's read it together. Romans 8, 28 and 29, please. Let's begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So according to these verses, what is the form that God wants us to conform to? The image of his Son. That's the goal. Not the image of dad. Not the image of whatever. Here's what we want you to be, son. Or here's what we want you to be, daughter. And you've got to be like this. It's Jesus. Where is Jesus being at the heart of the matter? The goal must include reaching a children's heart. And by the way, just like us. Just like us. Remember, God, David said that the sacrifices to God are those that are of a broken and contrite what? Heart. Heart. That is what he accepts and strives to care for. The authoritarian father, the goal must include reaching our children's hearts. Instruction and correction is necessary, but heart strings are tied with a love that a father can provide. The authoritarian father, low in love and high in leadership. What's one that seemingly is most like what we see in Scripture? Again, Ephesians chapter 6, you can go there if you want, but here's what it says again. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The fourth one we'll look at is the authoritative. Not authoritarian, authoritative. That is one who is firm but fair. Firm but fair, high in love, and high in leadership. This father accepts and fulfills his role as a parent by nurturing his child's heart as best he can with love for God while training him in obedience. What is the one thing that God told Israel, every family, when you raise your children, what's the one thing they need to know, their children need to learn? The first thing, the Lord our God is, we looked at this in Sunday school, the Lord our God is one Lord. And the Bible tells us we need to practice that and share that with our children. Authoritative has been described as firm but fair. And the Apostle Paul reminds all dads that a top priority in raising children is that they grow to be like Ephesians 6:4. Who does it say? The admonition of the Lord. The Lord. The Lord Jesus. Something that we should be striving for too, Dan. He purposes to put time in for fellowship and work alongside with the children. Have you noticed that if you don't schedule time with your kids, a lot of times you don't get it? That's what I've learned as we get older. Now that some of them are away, man, now we got to all get our calendars out and say, okay, what day are you doing? What day are this and that? It gets harder as they grow older. But dads, if they're still young in your home, young enough, put that time aside to be with them. Because as a father who's growing from the kids that are still there and kids that are out, I'm at that position where I can say, you don't get those days back. When they're gone, they're gone. He purposes to put time in for fellowship and work alongside with his kids. This biblical view points to God the Father as the model. The hope and prayer is to give children a picture of their Heavenly Father that will create a hunger to know the Lord in their lives and all their lives, all their lives. By the way, anything you do, Dad, do it in prayer too. Amen? Amen. Do it in prayer. Because here's some reasons why we can't always do the job. Two specific that I want to point out why we cannot always do the job right, especially in our own power. John 15, take a look. John chapter 15. And verse number 5. Oh, there's a fly in there. Yeah, not bad. John 15, verse 5, let's read it together, shall we? Or in verse number 5, this is Jesus speaking. Let's say it out loud together. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. Nothing pleasing to the Lord is what he's talking about there, I believe. Spiritually pleasing to the Lord. No father can do the right job on his own power. And dads, if we're honest, we know that's true, don't we? We know that's true. But praise God, we know somebody who's got the power. The Lord Jesus, we've got the Heavenly Father, we've got the Holy Spirit constantly working and available through us. We need his help. And then another thing that God shows that we need to remember is that every child needs a parent living in God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12, let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 9 and verse 10. This is that passage about the Apostle Paul being very, very candid, very vulnerable, I would say, talking about a thorn in the flesh, something physical that God sent to him. This was not something that he fell into or you know, an accident happened, but the Bible says God sent it to him, and he asked God to take it away. How many times did he ask him to take it away, remember? Three times, and God said it's not going to happen. I'm going to start in verse number 8. Take a look. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, what's the last phrase? Then am I strong, not because of our strength, but because of the power of Christ that rests upon us when we live in the grace of God. Here he said, listen, and if we read the whole chapter, we would see Paul was a very favored Christian. Let's put it that way. He saw things. He was shared things of God that others didn't. And yet, because of that, God says, I'm going to send someone or something physically to keep you from being too proud about these things so that you don't boast so much about them that you lose your sanctification. And God said he gave him this flesh, this thorn in the flesh. That was the reason he had it, is because so he would not exalt himself above measure. That was the purpose of the thorn. Whatever it is that we deal with, whether it's something that is chronic, we can't get rid of it, it's going to be there all the time, or whether it's something that's temporary, we need to consider the power of Christ that can be sought through it, that can be sought through it. Whether you're a dad or whether you're a young person, God says he wants you in the times of weakness to look to him for strength. And dad, we need his strength. We need his strength. So which father are you? And there may be other styles. You can say, well, you forgot this one. Okay, that's fine. But mainly, we want to do it the Bible way. Amen? Amen? Do it the Bible way. especially in a time when God's word seems to be abandoned in the home, in the sense of we're going to follow it like it says. We're going to follow it like it says and strive to obey it as much as possible. There's still a chance to share light in this world. Did you know God's still working in Eaton Rapids and in Charlotte and in Diamonddale and Lansing? And I'll give you an example today. Apparently he works in a lot of places I go to eat, because we went to Burger King today. We went to the steakhouse in Eaton Rapids. We had tried to visit a family whose children came to children's ministries but have stopped in the last year and a half or so. So we thought, well, let's see if we can go out and see them yesterday to give an invitation for Vacation Bible School. Well, they didn't live there anymore. Here was this gentleman. He said, they don't live here anymore. And he was pretty adamant, they don't live here anymore. And I think he was saying, so go away. Well, here we were at the steakhouse. And guess who walked in the door? The father and one of the kids that we were hoping to see yesterday. Do you know God still works? You ask him. You ask him. And trust him. And Dad, in our homes, God still works too. He still works too. Let's seek his face. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Let's fear the Lord and strive to raise our children and family for him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us. And Lord, help us to ask you big things. And by faith, look for that answer. Lord, I pray even tonight. Pray for fathers. Pray for moms. Pray for our children, dear Lord. As their minds are moldable, help us, Lord, to place the right things in front of them. And others who might have influence, Lord, help us to see how they can be a help too. If not, Lord, show us how to guide in a different direction that would go towards you. We thank you for your love and care for us tonight. I pray for all our dads, Lord. Help us to be men of God. Men who would do what you say in the home and out. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask, would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? Maybe God's spoken to you today. Dad, mom, young person, maybe God's spoken to you today. Would you respond? Would you respond? Lord, whatever you want, I will do. I'm going to ask the piano to softly play the song we'll sing in just a moment. When she begins to play, why don't you, right where you're at, take a moment, talk to the Lord, ask his help about that as she begins to play. Doug's going to lead us in that song. It's number 374. Be Thou My Vision. As God leads, would you respond as we sing? Be Thou My Vision, 374.